Why don't we remain standing for the reading of the word of the Lord, taken from the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Fire devours in front of them, and behind them a flame burns. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, but after them a desolate wilderness, and nothing escapes them. They have the appearance of horses, and like war horses they charge. As with the rumbling of chariots, they leap on the tops of the mountains, like the crackling of a flame of fire devouring the stubble, like a powerful army drawn up for battle. Before them, peoples are in anguish. All faces grow pale. Like warriors, they charge. Like soldiers, they scale the wall. Each keeps to its own course. They do not swerve from their paths. They do not jostle one another. Each keeps to its own track. They burst through the weapons and are not halted. They leap upon the city. They run upon the walls. They climb up into the houses. They enter through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice at the head of his army. How vast is his host! Numberless are those who obey his command. Truly, the day of the Lord is great, terrible indeed. Who can endure it? Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy.
God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and his infallible word. Thank you for joining us online, if you are joining us via that medium. And thank you for joining us in the building. My name is Malcolm Duncan, and I have the privilege of leading the work here. And my prayer is that tonight, God, by his Holy Spirit, will inspire each of us to be aware of what he wants to say and do into our lives. Across this week, beginning tonight, we have declared a solemn assembly in the words that you've heard from Joel chapter 2, verses 14, 15, and 16. We're calling the Kensington Temple London City Church family around the world to 7 days of prayer and seeking the face of God. We believe that this is a vital and important act, and we are grateful to all who are participating, whether you're part of the KTLCC family or not, whether you're here tonight visiting from another fellowship online or in the building, or you are part of the work that God is doing amongst us. It is an honor to have you here. We believe that God has called us not only to blow the trumpet for KTLCC, but to blow the trumpet for his kingdom, to declare and announce that God is on the move and to invite people to pray, to seek his face, to call out to him, to cry out to him for his intervention in our world, to call his people to do various things that Scripture associates with the blowing of a trumpet. I have been involved with an organization called the World Prayer Center that meets and flows out of Birmingham for many, many years. And nearly 20 years ago, they had a series of events called the Trumpet Call, in which they felt from a verse in Numbers chapter 10, verse 9, that speaks of trumpets being blown, that God was calling them as a prayer movement to call the church to pray. They had four different objectives in that. One was to sound an alarm. One was to expose fear and uncertainty. One was to call for unity and to remind people that above our denominations and our streams and our networks and our preferences, children of God are all citizens of one king. We are in one kingdom. We serve one purpose, and it is God's purpose on the earth. And fourth, a call to action, a call to stand and be counted as God's people. Across all of this week, you are invited to participate in our week of prayer. It doesn't stand in isolation. It stands as part of what God has been doing in this house. Particularly over the last 6 months, I have been privileged to lead this work. But mine is only the latest paragraph of the chapter of the book of the story of Kensington Temple, London City Church. And I count it a privilege and an honor to have a small part to play in the unfolding story of this work. Back in July, when I began, I explained to the church at that time that I was going to invite them to do two simple things. First of all, we were going to lift up Jesus. And secondly, we were going to read the Bible together. Over the last 6 months, as we have lifted up Jesus, we have seen a move in the most powerful, wonderful, and life-giving way. Somebody in the house say amen. We've seen lives changed. We've seen people saved. We've seen families restored. We've seen dreams rebirth. We've seen people that had lost their way come back. We've seen women and men and boys and girls touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the words of Scripture, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. From October the 27th until the 2nd of November, we embarked on reading the Bible together, cover to cover, word by word, verse by verse, and we read every single verse aloud. Almost 70 languages involved, nations from around the world, thousands of people engaged. And as we simply read God's word and reminded one another of this great story, God came and met with us in power. He transformed lives, he changed, he healed bodies. Just as they came under the sound of his word being read, no one prayed for them. No one laid hands on them. Some were not even aware of their circumstances. Certainly I wasn't, but God in his sovereignty and his grace came and touched them, transformed them here and all around the world. People in South Africa whose spouses were saved miraculously, inexplicably after years of praying for them. People whose bodies had been diagnosed with conditions going to the doctor a few days later to be told it's gone. We can't explain it. God has been on the move in this house. And as part of that continued journey, I have felt for some time that he was calling us to seek his face, to cry out to him and pray. If you like, the flip side of reading the word of God aloud is seeking the face of God together. Nothing of any significance, worth, value, or permanence can be achieved in a church without prayer, without seeking the face of Almighty God. And this motif of blowing the trumpet has been for me the clearest kind of picture of drawing you, calling you here and across the world, whatever church you're part of, to be part of declaring the purposes of God and crying out to God for a fresh move of his Holy Spirit. Actually, tonight, and some of you will be relieved, some of you might be slightly disappointed, I'm not going to preach a long sermon. I'll give you a chance to say, praise the Lord, you missed the opportunity. I'm going to invite you into praying. This is a prayer concert. This is a prayer gathering. Now, if you're here tonight, and I think this is important, I do it all the time in situations like this, and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, and God has brought you here, and you're like, I just wanted to know more about God. You're going to witness God's people praying. You're going to hear God's people crying out to him. You might be slightly freaked out by that because you might see them praying loudly. You might hear a ram's horn being sounded. You might see people coming and kneeling at the front of the church. You might see people weeping. And you might say, this is all a bit over the top. It isn't really. If I was to take you to Twickenham when England are playing Ireland, and of course, I'm sorry, England would lose, you would see thousands of people singing the fields of Athenry. That's the Irish bit of the story. And as Ireland carried or kicked that ball across the 22-yard line, or they took a try, you would hear the Irish saying, yes! They would press hooters and play claxtons and make all kinds of noise because they're passionate. You might have been taught, if you're not yet a Christian, that prayer is something that is dispassionate, that is always kind of quiet and monotone. That is not the case. When God's people cry out to him, sometimes we are crying out to him in desperation. We're crying out to him because we know he is the only one that can save us. We're crying out to him and we don't care what other people think. We're not doing it in order to be respectable. We're doing it because we know we need his grace. We need his mercy. We need his power. And when we cry out to him in worship, it's because we're more excited about him than we are a rugby ball. Amen? Amen. We want to declare his praises and announce that we believe in him. When you see kids and overweight middle-aged pastors coming and dancing on a bit of blue carpet, you might think they are definitely strange. That's okay. I don't mind you thinking me strange, because the reason for me doing that or the kids doing that is we love Jesus. We believe that he changes lives, that he is present in this room, and that he's able to take the most difficult of situations and turn them around. I do all that to say to you, tonight you might meet him. As you watch other people praying, you might find him coming and saying to you, would you like to know more about me? So don't be anxious. Don't be concerned. Don't be frightened. On the way out, you will be given, if you haven't already been given it on the way in, a little sheet, just an A4 sheet. There's a couple of typos in it. Forgive me for that. It was being printed rather quickly toward the end of the last week. I could have reprinted them, but I decided that I wasn't going to spend another couple of £100 of the church's money correcting one or two spelling mistakes. Take that up with me if you like. In it, you will find 7 days of themes around this blow the trumpet idea. Tonight, as we pray together, I'm going to ask you to pray into those. I'm going to ask you to find your place before the throne of God and call out to him to come and move amongst us. And we begin by recognizing, and I didn't realize it until my colleague Lily's told me this afternoon, that back in July when I called the church to pray and to seek God and to worship him together, I used a verse from Revelation chapter 4 where John says, is told by the Lord, come up here. And I will show you what will take place. And within a few verses, we read the phrase that the trumpet of the Lord was blown and he heard. There is a miraculous interconnection in all that we are doing at the moment that I'm not clever enough to put together. But I believe, and I say this with due circumspection and a sense of humility, that this church is entering a season the like of which we have never seen before. And God is asking us to be armed and ready in spiritual battle, prepared to plead for the nations of the earth. If you were with me today in our services, you will have heard me saying that one of my prayers is that God would give us, as KTLCC, representations from every nation of planet earth. You might look at me and say, but Malcolm, you've already got 126 or 127. Yes, there are about another 100. Can we not be content with the 126? No. No. We're asking God to move in power. The scripture that Pastor Claudette brought to us begins and ends with this picture. Blow the trumpet in Zion. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, you read of the call that the trumpet is to be blown, that an alarm is to be sounded, that the people are to be made aware of something. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. We are reminded in this passage that sometimes the trumpet is blown as a warning, as a call to God's people and the world to remind them that God is a God who sees and knows and understands all things. A similar expression or sentiment is found in Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 27. The Jeremiah prophet cries out, "Raise the standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations for war against her, summon against her the kingdoms, Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz, appoint a marshal against her, bring up horses like bristling locusts." I wonder if you're aware that God has placed upon the church a responsibility to declare his purposes and plans, to pray his kingdom in, to pray that women and men will be aware of the message of salvation, to pray that hearts and lives would be open to the reality that God is coming back in the form of his Son and he will judge the nations of the earth. As we pray this week, we are praying for many things, but we are praying that there will be an awakening across the land and across the world, that men and women will understand the profound reality of the call of God and the reality that he sees and knows all things. There follows in Joel chapter 2 from verse 2 all the way through to verse 11, a picture of this great and terrible day. But at the end in verse 12, as you heard Pastor Claudette read, we are told that God says, "Now return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, who relents from punishing, who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy." I'm delighted to see kids coming here tonight. I'm delighted to see families bringing their children. If they make a noise, don't you dare tell them off. They're in the house of God. They're seeking his face. They're calling out to him. We have people here that are really old and people here that are really young. And this week I am calling us to pray, calling us to fast. On Wednesday it will be a day of fasting and prayer, a half night of encounter. Why? Because God is on the move.